All right, everybody, welcome on back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We do not change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. I want to thank God for those of you who were able to make it to the midweek church service. It sure is a blessing to come together as family of God, as saints, to refresh our spirit and to recover from all this world and its influence and anything that might have attempted to cling on to us throughout the week, anything that might have attempted to hinder our joy throughout the week, our own personal sin we fight, and things that we all face on a daily basis. This is why we have this midweek service, is to uplift you and to lift you up from whatever that might mean and whatever you might be going through throughout the week. So just keep me in prayer. For some reason, towards the end of my work shift, I started to get a headache. My throat's been a little dry. I've been taking Halls. I don't know what it might be. As you guys know, I'm not one of those super spiritual brothers that want to say it's Satan attacking me. I think Satan has bigger agendas than a young Mexicano kid like me wanting to just serve the Lord. But, you know, my head hurts. I got a headache right now. It's been a little, if you will, hurtful. My throat's a little dry, but I'm here. And again, we're not going to forsake the assembly. If I ain't dying, I'll be here. I'm going to try my best to serve Jesus. If Paul could go back into his city after he was stoned, I think I can come to church with a little sore throat. Amen. If Paul can get back up after getting rocked, I think I can come out here and go soul win. Amen. Tomorrow. So again, I read the Bible and I am missing the mark of integrity and faithfulness with what our forefathers went through for the love of Jesus Christ. They didn't let nothing hinder them, even though they were near death. They still got up and get back serving the Lord, if you will, with the church. So I'm thankful that you guys made time to come tonight. That's a blessing. We're just going to go over some quick announcements. Most important announcement to make tomorrow, soul winning sunset. Please try your best to make this year better than last year for our service and our work for Jesus. Remember that you're in this body for his service. That body belongs to Jesus. That spirit belongs to Jesus. He wants to use you as a vessel. So let's gladly yield to the Spirit's call to evangelize, to soul win, and also be a participant with our local church here to assist, if you will, the vision that we have to reach souls. So tomorrow, if you can join us, we're going to meet here at 4:45, God willing, prayer, get our tracts, our scripture signs, and go downtown for about an hour and a half to win souls, plant the seed of the gospel, pray for people, and see what the Lord can do. We sure appreciate your attendance, participation, and obedience to the Savior and going into all the world. Number two, Discipleship Friday class, and then soul winning on Saturday. Again, another opportunity. We meet here at the church at 9:45 for prayer, for breakfast, and then we're going to hit the doors 10 o'clock to about 12, take a quick break, and then go downtown to the pier to continue in our efforts to win souls, bring people to church, see people and their lives change. But again, we need to be willing. Jesus ironically taught his disciples to pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send laborers, because the laborers are few. And guys, don't be discouraged by the quantity of your church. You have Jesus, the Creator. You have the Redeemer in your heart. But what we need is willingness to go. So you guys already know this year, we're going to continue, my wife and I, to provoke y'all little by little to do a little bit more for Jesus, to do a little bit more for Jesus as we see the day approaching. Let's start getting our heavenly bank account more rich than we have in this world. Don't worry about, you know, everything else. It has its time and season. But when it's time to serve the Lord, let's try to put a little bit more effort now this year, guys, than we did last year for the Lord. So those are the most immediate important announcements that I have here to make. Study blogs, giving. You guys already know, as Christians, you guys have been mature now of how you ought to respond to the Lord in obedience to supporting your church with your financial giving. You can do that anytime, online, in the back there. There's a box. Anytime. You guys already know we don't pass the hat, and we're not here to coerce people, but we're just there to tell you the scriptures and lead by example. So you guys can take care of that anytime between you and God. But tonight, without further ado, I just want to go in and get right into it. Tonight is a special message that I've prepared for you this evening. And tonight's message title is The Power of Confession. the power of confession. I believe that this message is going to bless you if you came here tonight with a heart for the Lord. I believe that this message has something to benefit you and something to offer you if you likewise came with that intent, which is to hear the Word of God and to respond to the Word of God, to grow and benefit from what the Spirit of God can use the Word of God to help you with in life. And so with that said, let me share with you what's on my heart for this particular message, if you will, and then we'll move forward with our announcement. So as I get everything ready up here, here's the intent here. As you guys can see, the Bible says in Proverbs 28:13, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Here is a special message on the topic of confession. My question to you tonight is, are you tired of holding on to your burdens? Are you tired of holding on to bitterness against people? Well, tonight we are going to learn from the Bible of how God instructs us on how to find peace with Him in confession, and then healing with others through confession. So again, I hope this message is a blessing to you as much as it was for me in preparing it. Without further ado, would you turn your Bibles with me now to Proverbs chapter 28, and we're going to read again in verse number 13 as we prepare our hearts for the Word of God this afternoon. And again, forbear with me, church. I sure appreciate your prayer. I hope to feel better by tomorrow because I want to go soul winning. I want to keep serving Jesus because this body belongs to Him. And I heard a pastor today on a podcast talk about how when we ask God for healing of the body and when we ask God for provision for our finances, it's for Him. It's for His work. It's for His service. And that really touched home with me because when I ask God to heal me, I'm asking Him for what intent? Am I asking it for my benefit or for His benefit? I hope it's for His benefit. I hope that when I say, God, heal me, or God, give me money for I can pay my debt, I hope it's so I can be useful for His work and service. So now let's continue to think about our Christianity like that, church, tonight. Let's continue to have that mindset that if you wake up tomorrow, it's because God wants to use you for His work. As soon as it's your time to go, guys, you're going to go, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. So every day we wake up, let's have that mindset that, God, this body belongs to You. These eyes belong to You. The money You've blessed me with through my talents and gifts that I can benefit somebody to pay me some money, it's all for You. So let's start putting in a little bit more of that mentality and that spiritual response to Him by availing ourselves more for Him this year. All right, guys, so Proverbs 28, let's go down to verse number 13. Hope you're following along now in your Bible. The Bible says here, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before Your throne of grace. I thank You that Your Bible allows me the opportunity to. Lord, I don't feel so good tonight and have a little headache. God, You know what my body is going through, these sicknesses, these infirmities. But I have joy in my spirit to see full members of the church here, Christians, people that I love, people that You love. Tonight, God, I pray Your Holy Spirit would have the control over this body, God. Allow me now for this next minute or so, the time that we have set apart for Wednesday midweek church, to be a blessing and a benefit to Your children by feeding them the Word of God and instructing them today on this message of confession, how we can find peace with You when we confess, and then most importantly, how we can find healing with one another when we confess to each other. Would You teach us tonight, Father? I just want to be a vessel. I just want to be a vessel that Your Holy Spirit can use to teach these people. But Lord, start with me first. Start with me first, God. Help me to be an example. So God, we thank You now. We pray for those that potentially might be on their way. We pray for those who were unable to attend tonight. We just ask, God, that You be with them. And I pray that You continue to help us to grow as a church and our allegiance and loyalty to You, Lord, to do what You've commanded us to do. And we look forward to what You're going to do. So thank You, God, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When you read that verse, I want you to see something very powerful. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You know, right now, I don't know what's in Brother Giovanni's wallet. I don't know what's in Sister Kina's purse. I don't know what's in my wife's purse. She has to dig out. It takes her a couple hours to do. The Bible says that when you cover something, it's hidden for a purpose. because you don't want nobody to see. You have a door from the hallway to your private bedroom. Why? Because you don't want nobody to see once the door's closed. I want you guys to understand tonight that when we cover our sins, when we forbear and when we hold back those sins, it does something to us. It hinders us. It robs us of our joy. I want you to see, guys, tonight that we cannot hide anything from God. We cannot hide our secrets from God, whether they're thoughts or whether they're deeds or whether they are actions. According to the Bible, when you try to hide yourself in secret from others because of sin or because of something that you're ashamed from someone figuring out or finding out about you, I want you to know that God said you're not going to prosper. But I want you to know the other available truth tonight. God said if you confess and forsake them, what is that in context? We'll look at the first half. His sins shall have what? Mercy. So God knows your secret. He knows the inside that you're hiding from everybody else. He knows what's in your wallet, brother. He knows what's in your purse, sister. He knows what's really going on behind closed doors. But he wants to give you mercy. He wants to heal you. He wants to establish peace. But what does he want you to do first? He wants you to confess. He wants you to be willing to talk to him and to be real with him and just to tell him, God, I'm sorry. And this is what I'm sorry for. And to be specific with it. So tonight, that's going to be the topic of our message, that there's power in confession. I want to teach my church that there's two things that I want to show you about confession. One, confession to God is going to help you to maintain peace with him and him to give you peace in return. Two, confession one to another is going to help you to heal each other on the outside. And God's not really going to have anything to do with that, because I'm going to show you tonight before we close, this is just you being healed by another because they said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for hurting your feelings. I'm sorry for something that I did against you that caused you to stumble. Would you forgive me? And you know what the Bible says? You can be healed because you confess your faults, and we're going to show you that. How we can be forgiven and healed through the power of confession. Do me a favor now. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 26. We're going to begin on our Bible train. Leviticus chapter 26. Let's start reading here in verse number 40. Leviticus 26 and verse number 40. I want us to now begin to have that mentality, that mindset in our approach to tonight's study with, as we look at all these scripture references, what can I learn from this? What can I glean? How does God want to instruct me as an individual? And what are some things that I can pick up from these verses to really begin to bring out the fullness and the reality of what confession is and looks like? Look at here in verse number 40. The Bible says, if they shall confess their iniquity and the iniquity of their fathers with their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary unto me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and have brought them unto the land of their enemies. If then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham will I remember, and I will remember the land. Now we know who God is speaking to, the nation of Israel. We know that this is the Old Testament. He is dealing with them conditionally based upon the laws given to them to govern them in the land. But do you see the heart of your God? He wants them to confess their individual sin. He wants them to acknowledge their trespass when they cross the line of God's laws. But unto who? Look at what he says, me, him personally. And then look at what he says, I want to see humility from their heart. It doesn't matter if that Jew was circumcised the eighth day, right? The males, their hearts still needed to be circumcised. Because in their heart, they had sin. In their heart, they had pride. In their heart, that's where it began. And that's what God is looking for in confession. Can I tell you tonight, number one, God is looking for you to humble your heart when you confess to him. When you ask God to forgive you your sin and your iniquity and trespass, what is he looking for you to humble? Your heart. And then he's looking for you to humbly admit and agree, God, whatever the outcome is, I'm willing to accept it because, God, I know that I've sinned against you. I know that I'm deserving. I know that I'm worthy of whatever you want to allow in my life. I know that I'm worthy of it. Did you see that there in verse 1? So tonight, that's what we need to begin to understand is when you do confess your sin to God, your trespass, you need to do it with a humble heart. It starts there. All right? Look at Ezra chapter 10, verse number 11. Turn your Bible there to Ezra chapter 10. And let's go now together to verse number 11. The Bible says here in Ezra chapter 10, verse number 11, Now therefore make confession unto the Lord God of your fathers and do his pleasure and separate yourselves from the people of the land and from the strange wives. Once again, we're just looking at these Old Testament verses for an example of confession. But can I tell you something that we learn from this verse? Confession is not hiding our secret sin from God. Confession is being open with our secret sin and following through with a desire to separate ourselves from that sinful habit, that place. Maybe it's a person, maybe it's a thing in your life. And it got us into the mess to begin with. So what I want to show you from tonight, in confession to God, we are acknowledging before him, God, you're right, I'm wrong. I've sinned against you because your Bible says this, 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 and I'm guilty of doing that. I'm guilty of doing that against you, and I'm willing to receive whatever consequence, but all I can trust in is in your mercy. And when he sees that humble heart, then he will pour out mercy. But I want you to see now, church, that he expects for you to have a willingness to then begin the process of separating yourself from that sin. Whatever that might mean, you understand what we're talking about, you between you and the Lord. All right, Psalm 32. Psalm chapter number 32. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles there. And let's see now, as we continue to dig a little further on confession. Look at verse number 5. Psalm 32, verse number 5. The Bible says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So what does it start with? It starts with acknowledging before God your specific sin and not hiding it from him in the emotions of your heart. Remember what we read earlier? It's covering our sin, but we're not going to prosper, God said. Just like I said earlier, sister, you came in a little later, you know, women generally have things in their purse and none of us can see it because it's hidden. It's hidden behind an object, if you will. Us men, we have a wallet. Nobody can see what's in there because it's folded in an object. Everything in there is hidden. So when we try to hide our sins, we're truly not hiding them from God, but we can hide them from man, obviously from people. But God said we're not going to prosper as we hold on to them. So in confession to God, what do? We acknowledge that sin unto him. We be specific with God. Don't be general and say, God, forgive me for my lust. Be specific. Father, forgive me for my lust after women, men. Forgive me for my pride against that guy over there. Forgive me for this anger against this girl over here. Forgive me. Be specific with God. Don't hold on to it. God doesn't want you to hold on to those burdens, if you will, those weights that are holding you down. There's mercy to be found of him. He will forgive it. You got to trust God that he will forgive you, and then he'll deliver you so that way you don't continue to do those things. Look at Acts chapter 19 on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Just look at Acts 19. We got many more to go in the Old Testament. I want you to see from this verse, very interesting. Very interesting. Confession can also be demonstrated by showing what your deeds were and then following with some kind of proof of repentance from continuing in those things. Look at here. A lot of the Ephesians, they got saved after the preaching of the gospel and they were idolatrous people. And so look at verse 18. And many that believed came and look, church, and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men, and they counted the price of them and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. Sometimes our confession requires us to prove some fruit. if you will. Prove it now. All right, sister, you said you're sorry. Okay, brother, you said you're sorry. Now, what are you going to do about it? What are you going to follow through with some action to demonstrate that you truly are sorry? I remember long ago, unfortunately, this man that we tried to help out was struggling with a particular thing. I won't mention it. And a lot of the brothers were very zealous to try to go into his house and remove a lot of things, right, that were a hindrance to this man's particular sin he was struggling with. They did it by force, brothers and sisters. They didn't really do it with compassion and charity. They really forced this guy, if you will. And now, unfortunately, he's back out there doing his thing. But they tried to show him, and they tried to take it from him. Can I tell you something tonight, church? Trying to force someone to give up their sins when they don't want to give it up, it ain't going to happen. You can go in someone's house, brother and sister. You can start pulling out idols and images and pictures. You can start, you know, taking the cable from their wall outlet and telling them no more video games and all this. But if they don't want to personally want to yield it and surrender it, they're not going to change. But I understand what you're trying to do, brother and sister. I understand when you try your best to go into someone's life and help them out. Romans 10:10. Can you believe that confession was actually a part of the first step in your salvation? I'm going to show you now. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse number 10. Many of you have heard it, but maybe not quite have understood the moment. But here's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you did it. You say, when, brother? Well, you know, when you acknowledged before God that you were a sinner in need of a Savior. Remember how someone said, pray after me. I'm going to pray with you this sinner's prayer, but you need to mean it from heart. Remember that? Well, what did you do? You confirmed the first step, which is, God, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. What did you do? You confessed to God, and you asked him to save you, and he saved you. So confession, you did it at the beginning of your relationship with God, but you need to continually do it throughout your relationship with God. I hope that makes sense to you now. Every time we come short of God's standard for living after Christ, he does expect for us to continually confess those specific sins, but believing in faith that he will forgive us after our confession, just like the psalmist said in Psalm 32. We don't confess our sins to man, but directly to God through Jesus Christ as the mediator and our advocate, that is, our representation of help on our behalf. Look at 1 John chapter 1, in verse number 9. Here's the good news about confession, is that we know, because the Bible obviously assures us, that when we do confess, he is faithful to forgive us. Look at here in verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Now look at that last part, guys. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So guys, just like the psalmist said, and just like the writer in Proverbs, you can find mercy when you confess. But God doesn't want to just leave you there at the bench when you ask him to forgive you after that message. He wants to clean you. He wants to deliver you from that thing. That's his will. So yeah, keep going, guys. Keep going to God. Ask him, God, forgive me. I messed up again, God. And he'll keep doing that. But at some point, church, he wants to begin to clean you. He wants to begin to deliver you from that fault or that iniquity or that thing that you're struggling with. How do we as Christians prove people's profession of salvation? We prove them by their confession. That is, what do they confess with their mouth? Let me show you this as a side nugget. This is not necessarily on the topic, but this is just for you guys to understand that when you do soul winning and you evangelize, it's okay to ask questions, because all you're doing is you're proving their confession. What do they confess with their mouth and believe in? Look at here in verse number 1, 1 John 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth, see there, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. So according to God, whosoever denies that Jesus Christ was God manifested in the flesh is Antichrist. What does that mean? They are anti God's record of his son concerning his deity. I'll show you one more on this quick side nugget here, chapter 5. Look it with me now in verse number 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So whenever someone knocks on your door, or someone invites you to another church, all you got to do is say, what do you guys confess around here? What do you believe in? Do you believe that Jesus Christ was God who died on the cross for my sins? And do you guys believe when the Bible teaches that I can have eternal life by simply believing in him? If they say no, because, and they begin to give you something else, then they don't have the right gospel. So again, I'm just showing you a quick side nugget on how to prove people. So far, we've learned about how we need to confess to God our sins. That is, both public sins and secret sins. We've learned how we need to be specific with him, that is, honest and sincere concerning our failure to live according to his commands. But what I really want to focus on tonight is this. What about when we offend one another as believers? What about when other people offend us? You know, people. Is there a need or a requirement to confess to each other? Anybody out there? Yes or no? Yes. Let's go to the book now, James chapter 5. And here, now we're going to start digging deep, amen. So if y'all haven't missed in a minute, get ready, because now we're going to begin to grind away them cavities, amen. All right, James chapter 5, but we're not going to give you that shot to numb it up. Okay, you guys got to just take it as it is. All right, here we go. Brother Carl, a little sick tonight, so that's all right. I won't be as pumped up. But James chapter 5, hopefully the Bible's sufficient. Watch this now. Verse number 16. The Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So yes, in this context, notice the healing takes place amongst the brethren when they confess their faults one toward another. But notice what the scripture said. Notice what it said there in verse number 16. That ye may be healed. This is not God necessarily healing you inwardly, but that you may cause or be the cause for healing within another person, because you know what you said? I'm sorry. The whole time that person has been saddened, stressed, depressed because of your offense, your fault, and finally you got enough integrity within your heart to just go up to them and say, would you please forgive me? When you confessed that fault, you know what you did? You brought healing to that wound. You know, church, sometimes wounds are not physical wounds. They're spiritual. They're in the heart. They're in the mind. And I'm pretty sure you guys heard growing up, sticks and stones may break my bones, but well, how does it go? Words may never hurt me. You heard about that? Words hurt. That's a lie. I'm not sure about you, friend, but words do hurt. When people say certain things to you or they come out a certain way, you get hurt because you are a sensual creature. God gave you the senses. He gave you understanding, right from wrong. He gave you feelings so you can understand those things. And sometimes when they cross the laws of God, his moral code of how to love people, it gets to you and you recognize that. But do you recognize that when you are the cause in that within someone else's life? I'm here to tell you that tonight, there's the power in confession. Number one, when you confess to God and acknowledge your sin before him and being specific, he said you will find mercy. And he said he will be merciful to you and he'll forgive you. And he wants to clean you up from that. But number two, this is a confession that doesn't necessarily require God to do something for you on the inside. This is a confession that God requires of you to help somebody on the outside between you and somebody because of a fault. Look up to the screen. You don't have to turn there. Look up real quick. Psalm 147. Let me show you these verses quickly. Psalm 147 and verse number 3. Look here. The Bible says, he healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. You see, when we confess our faults one to another, it can help bring healing to a wounded spirit, a wounded heart. Many of you guys have heard it before. I'm broken, man. I'm sad. I got some stuff going on in my life. I just need somebody to talk to. Well, when you are able to confess that to a brother or a sister, it could bring healing. We know that. But I want you to see there are healings. I'm sorry, there are wounds, and it could be the heart. Look at Psalm 109. Psalm 109, look at verse number 22. The Bible says here, "For I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me." Isn't that something? The heart is wounded. How many of you guys can say tonight that you've ever felt brokenhearted? Anybody here? I felt brokenhearted before because I was offended or saddened by someone's actions towards me. And I know that obviously I've been the cause for someone else's heart being broken. What are some examples of ways Christians can wound other Christians? Let's begin to get some application before we close tonight. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. We're now going to talk about some examples that the Bible shows us, of how somebody could offend us and how that is a fault, as the Bible will describe to us in a minute, and then what we ought to do about it. Before we close, I'm going to show you from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8, the Bible says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly." By the way, in your King James Bible, when you read innermost parts, that's your reins. That's your soul. That's the real you deep down in there. So according to God, do you know what a talebearer is? It's someone who officially tells tales. One who impertinently communicates intelligence or anecdotes. How many of you guys have ever heard of a gossiper? Raise your hand. For you Mexicanos out there, you call them chismosos and chismosas. Someone that just goes around telling everybody's business and they have no shame about it. Well, you know what God said? When someone is tale-bearing, it could cause wounds. What did the psalmist say? Man, I got wounds, but they're right in my heart. Friend, can I tell you something tonight? Don't be a tale-bearer. When somebody shares with you a fault, they confess to you something that they're going through, do not share that with no one else. Don't share it with your mother. Don't share it with your father. And husbands, don't share it with your wife, and vice versa. Wives, do not share it with your husbands, because what somebody's doing is they're confiding in you. They're trusting in you. But what happens is when that friendship is broken, that relationship of trust is broken, they begin to go and tell everybody your business. It's not hitting you in the eye. They're not pulling your hair. But man, it's hurting you on the inside. It's hurting your heart. That's what the Bible says that happens. Wounds. Wounds right up in there in your heart because of them just going around telling your business. That's a fault that Christians can have. Some of you may have experienced it recently, but I'm going to tell you how we can get out of there if you just trust God tonight. Amen. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 13. The Bible says, "A talebearer revealeth what? Secrets." So you see how the Bible defines itself now? "But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter." Tonight, you don't have to raise your hand. Are you a talebearer? Are you a talebearing Christian? Or are you a faithful Christian? Are you someone that is able to conceal the matter? In other words, zip it up, keep it right here between you and God in prayer, and you don't have to tell everybody else in the world what that person's going through? Or do you find yourself gossiping, talebearing? And some of y'all have heard it before, and let's be real now, some of us have spiritualized it by saying, "Hey, we need to pray for her because they're going through." Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Don't be doing that spiritual stuff now. Amen. And you're not casting burdens, brother. You're talebearing when you're saying, "Oh, we need to pray for that brother because they're going through such and such." Now, if that individual gives you the liberty, all right. "Hey, Brother Giovanni, man, I need all my prayer, brother. Tell them all. Tell Christians, I don't care where they're at. Pray for Brother Carlos. He's going through something, right? He's sad because of this and that." But if I say, "Hey, Brother Giovanni, man, just between us, brother, can you just pray for this?" If he tells his wife or his family, or vice versa, Sister Maribel confides in my wife, and she reveals that, we're not being faithful. So let's conceal it when they're having confidence in you. Let's not talebear, because that could hurt someone's heart. It could hurt someone's feelings. Look at Proverbs 20, and look at verse number 19. He that goeth about as revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Stay away from them. If you don't want to be hurt again by that kind of a person, then just don't begin to confide in them. Don't tell them all your information. You learn now from your past, if you will. It could be a family member. It could be a friend. You know who they are. Then just keep it at a distance. Amen. You're going to have respect. You're going to have love from Christ, but you no longer have to necessarily confide in them. Just be wise and aware of those type of individuals. It's for your benefit. Remember that. Okay, Proverbs 26, verse number 20. The Bible says here, where no wood is, Brother Giovanni knows about that, there the fire goeth out. Man, he needs some more wood. He needs to chop up wood. That's what he was doing, right? But what about this? So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. You know what God said? If you're able to remove that type of individual out of your life, then there goes your problems. That's why I said earlier in confession about your secret sin, remember how there's a separation that God expects of his people. Why don't you begin to separate yourself from that influence or that person or whatever is influencing you to want to continue in that thing? Maybe that will begin to cease out of your life. You understand that? But once our spirit is wounded by the fault of a talebearer, it is difficult to find help or trust in general in people afterwards. You know that? Look at Proverbs chapter 18. The Bible makes it real, real clear. And look at how the Bible is so relevant to help people that are going through depression today. If only they'll just trust the God of the Bible. Look at here, Proverbs 18:14. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? I'm not sure about you, friend, but I know you've gone through some difficult times. I know sometimes it's difficult to trust someone that you've opened up your heart to. I can't begin to tell you how many people I've opened up my heart to, especially Christians and even pastors, and they stepped over the line. They crossed a certain boundary, and it hurt my heart. Some of you guys have been hurt by people real close to you, friends, family members, and I'm here to tell you, it's difficult to bear that broken heart. But there's someone who can help you, and you know who he is. His name is Jesus Christ. But I want to let you know that even though he's up there and he wants for you to establish a relationship with him and confession and asking him to take this from you, give you peace in return and all that good stuff, he's also given you his church, members of his body, to help you and to bear that burden with you. I'm going to show you in a little bit. But guys, don't be surprised. It's okay when you are hurt and wounded, but now we need to let God rebuild and restore that in us so that way we can get stronger from those things from our past. Here is why confession of our faults is powerful, because it proves our faithfulness and our love for each other. Look at Proverbs chapter 27, verse 5 through 6. The Bible says that open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So what are faults? How can we identify them within our lives, the lives of others? But mostly, how can we prepare ourselves when we observe this and prevent ourselves from giving this to others? Well, because the Bible is true, it already foretold us all that at some point we will fail each other. At some point, we will hurt each other. At some point, we will offend each other. But how can we prevent this from happening? And if we don't prevent it, then how can we restore it? How can we mend it? How can we fix what's been broken? All right. Just look up to the screen for these next couple of verses. Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. And then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Galatians 5. We're almost done. The Bible says, starting in verse number 13 of Galatians 5, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to flesh, but by love serve one another." I'm here to tell you the answer tonight. Some of you have heard of preventative maintenance. You guys do it on your cars. You get an oil change. Some of you take care of your bodies by taking vitamins. You know, there's preventative actions you take for protecting yourself or your vehicle from future damage. Understand what I'm saying here? Do you want to know what the preventative maintenance is for relationships with fellow Christians to prevent that fault from happening? Love is the preventative measurement. Because if I love Brother Giovanni, I'm not going to want to hurt him. If I love Sister Maribel, I'm not going to want to hurt her. But if I lack love for either of you, then what's going to happen? I am going to offend you in my flesh, because outside of love, it's hate. It's pride. It's all that selfishness that we have inside this body. So that's the answer. The preventative measure that you need to take to maintain a healthy relationship is love. The Bible says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But now listen, because the Bible's true. Notice what it says. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. You know, God said at some point you're going to cross each other's line. At some point you will hurt the person sitting next to you or in back of you. But you know what God warned us? Don't allow that bite to get deeper, and don't tear each other up. Because of sin in our bodies, we're still going to give in to that every once in a while. But how do we restore it? James chapter 5. Confess your fault. When you bite and when you see yourself getting a little too emotional in that relationship dealing, ask for forgiveness. And in the midst of you seeking forgiveness, and then brother or sister, in the midst of you forgiving, look to Jesus Christ as your source and as your example, because he loves you both when you're saved. He could give you the strength and the ability to forgive each other and to forbear one another's faults. You know, when they examined the Lord's life, he was found faultless by his accusers. You can read that in Luke 23:14, John 18:38. Sometimes the Pharisees back in those days, you know how they would try to call people out? They had these traditions. If they didn't wash their hands before they ate their food, if they didn't wash their pots and their plates, the Bible says how they would find fault with people because of those errors, if you will, Mark 7, 1 through 2. But what is a fault? It's an error. It's when we err from this walk with God. It's when we err from keeping the commands of God. That's a fault. Can I give you a couple of examples of these faults before we close? Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Some of us have had business dealings with Christians before. Some of us are engaged, if you will, financially with a person. And then when money gets the best of us because of pride, we forget that Jesus Christ is our sufficiency, not the dollar, not the mammon of unrighteousness. We forget that our materials are not our sufficiency, Christ is. And then when you allow that feeling and that hurt to get you to the point where you want to sue somebody, that's a fault. Look at here in verse 1, the Bible says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints. Now, I'm not going to preach on that tonight. I'll teach on that tonight, but I just want you to fill in the blank. What matter do you have against another Christian tonight? You know what God said? Do you dare go to an unbelieving judge, an unbelieving psychologist, theologist, someone who does not know eternal life in Christ? Why don't you go before the church family? Why don't you go to your pastor and talk it out before you giving up and going and saying, I need somebody from this world to try to help me to learn how to be more like the not of this world, you know, up there. That's free, by the way. Keep reading. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? You know, sometimes the matters that look so big in our eyes because of a fault of an emotion, really, they're super small in God's eyes. Like, really, daughter? Really, son? You're going to let that little thing hinder you? Can you get over it? Can you talk to the church and bring it up and let's work it out? Look at verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now look at what the Spirit of God says. Now therefore there is utterly a fault. That's an error. By the way, you can find that in Daniel 6:4 about error. You can read that in Psalm 19:12 through 3 about error. Because you go to law with one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? You know what God is asking you? Why don't you just take it? Why don't you just forbear it? Why are you letting such a small matter become such a huge fire where all of a sudden you're going to leave the church and you're going to want to go out there to the unbelievers to find comfort to try to bring justice before your Christian brother? You know what the Holy Spirit did here? He just spiritually smacked up everybody in this church and said, you can't just get these guys that don't do nothing in the church and don't have a title to just judge these Christians over here for their situation to go back out there. Why don't you just take that little offense, brother, because you know it's not a big deal. Sister, why don't you just hold on to that, right? Because it's not a big deal. Now, in matters of social business and transactions, feelings, getting hurt by their dealings amongst one another, that's what their fault was. They wanted to sue each other at the local heathen court to revenge their offense caused by the other's faults. Feelings that are offended, that are not controlled by you. Now listen, they can lead you to do many things in error that are not biblical. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:28, I'll just show you on the screen. You don't have to turn there. Just look up to the screen. Proverbs 25:28. Let me tell you what God says about you when you cannot control your spirit. Bible says that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Faults could also be the shortcomings of one's spiritual character. You know, burdens they possess of character traits that are still in the process of being renewed after Christ's image, like renewal of the heart and mind. And in this process, they still exhibit errors in their Christian conduct. You know, like we would say, some of you guys were babies in the faith. You just got saved, and obviously some bad words still come out, right? Some anger comes out here, or some arguments and some resistance to want to be accountable to your pastor and do certain things. We understand that. But for us who are stronger in the faith than the weak, we better not leave the weak to their own vulnerability. But God commands us to seek each other and help restore each other when they're weak and we are strong. Almost done. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6. Now we really need to focus on this part because this is what's going to help us, friend, in our dealings with faults with the brethren. We're almost done. Last page. Galatians 6, look at verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Do you see there? In any church, you will have strong Christians and weak Christians. The strong are commanded to help the weak, and the weak are commanded to get stronger. But in this process, we must maintain our own individual walk at the same time. Because like the Bible says here in verse 1, at any time, we also could give in to that fault. So what does that look like? Well, I'm here trying to help out a brother who's going through some faults in his life. I'm over here trying to help a brother get discipled for some things in his life. But there's not much commitment. There's not much integrity. They have a foul mouth. There's, you know, all this going on. I got to watch my own heart from being faulty, lest I be like that and I give into that weak. Two of us that are weak. No one else can help us out now. You understand? So now look at, if you are stronger now in a certain area of your Christian walk than the brother over here, you need to be helping that brother get out of that. Same thing, sister, if you see another weak Christian, you can help them, but just take care of your heart, because if you don't, you too can be faulty. Look at on the screen now, we're almost done. Let me show you these verses. Look at Hosea chapter 10. Just look up to the screen for the sake of time. The Bible says their heart is divided. Now shall they be found what? Faulty. For example, this is good now. Listen. Marriage problems. Church membership problems. Unwillingness to obey Christ in the workplace problems. Unwillingness to let your pastor watch over you spiritually kind of problems. But you know what you try to do? You try to witness anyways with all these secret faults going on, but you cannot fool yourself, brother and sister. God knows. You see there? He knows your heart. He knows why you're living in secret. He knows that you got all that going on in there. He ain't going to bless that. So we can't try to spiritualize our problems away by trying to act spiritual with everyone else when really we got a lot of stuff going on in our heart. God knows that. But why do we want to live secretly when we can be enjoying life publicly with everyone? Faults, they could be emotional errors, social errors, things you still hold on to from your past like pride and anger, wrath, strife, maybe lack of confidence, maybe lack of integrity, maybe lack of maybe lack of honor, inability to submit to someone else outside of yourself. Before we close, how does God instruct us on what to do when we encounter these situations? I'll give you the answer, and then we're coming to a close. Look at Matthew chapter number 18. Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says, starting in verse 15, "Moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican." Now, before you want to tell me, Brother Carlos, I'm ready to start treating that guy like a publican, and I don't want to deal with him anymore. Did you do the first part? Notice what it said there, church, in verse number 15. Did you do the between thee and he alone? Have you talked to that individual one-on-one with no one else around? Were you honest enough to be open? Were you honest enough to acknowledge your own weaknesses and strengths before that individual, before you just started judging them about everything that's going wrong and how they're offending you? Say you did. So you tried. You tried this approach in the situation. Have someone else who can justify and validate your cause, like Jesus said, two or three. Is there someone else who we can examine the matter and really begin to weigh it out before you to say, yeah, sister, you got some cause here because the Bible says here, not because of your feelings or my feelings, but because maybe Brother Giovanni is going to actually just open up the Bible and then he's going to hear you and he's going to hear me. And well, brother, the Bible's right, brother. I'm with this sister in this area because the scripture says here, and brother, you're guilty. All right, the brother doesn't hear us. Now we got to tell our church family. Tell more brethren who care about this fellow. Hey, bro, come on, what's going on? Sister, what are you doing? That's the last step, guys. What does he want you to do, and how does he want you to approach the situation? Have we had the courage and integrity to first evaluate our own heart to measure if how I feel and how they made me feel is scripturally justifiable for bringing this up? Is it biblically justified to call them out in love one-on-one for some doctrinal discrepancy, or is it just my feelings? Brother and sister, if you can start maturing on your spiritual discernment now, how to approach matters, remember what God said about wisdom. Remember last Sunday, Proverbs 16:20, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." Maybe, just maybe, a lot of our faults could have been fixed a long time ago and could have prevented people from leaving this church and avoiding each other if they only began to evaluate themselves first in light of the scripture. So, as we come to close, what have we learned tonight? There is power in confession, but to what purpose or in response to what? Either to the gospel for salvation, remember confession is made, two, confession of our sin to God privately, being honest about it, being specific about it, and then lastly, confession one to another because of our faults. God promised to forgive our sins. I read you the scriptures. But healing, He's left up to you to work that out with each other while you're on this earth. So what do we need to do? We need to trust God's word. We need to keep building our lives upon this rock versus the sand that sinks, which is our feelings. Let me show you now our closing scriptures. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. You see, when I begin to read more of the Bible, and I begin to be a little bit more calm, and I begin to put my feelings under control and begin to weigh it out in the measuring scale with the Word of God, I begin to realize in the end of the day, I'm faulty. Why? Because my heart. I'm the one that has the problems. I'm the one who's offended God. I'm the one who, if you will, transgressed the mark, and I'm the one who's worthy of, not the other person. So what do I need to do? I need to work on keeping myself united with Him. Because as soon as I begin to separate myself from Him, that's when I will offend you. What do we learn tonight? Love. Love. That's what's going to help you to keep you from having a fault before a brother. And then unity. Here we have it. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and then we're going to close. The Bible says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That word beseech is like begging you. So I want you to imagine, Sister Maribel, Brother Giovanni, here's Paul. He's asking you, I'm just begging you guys. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. By the way, that's your job. You're a Christian now. Being a Christian is a commitment. Being a friend involves commitment. Now you need to work on this thing. Look at verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, that's another term for patience, forbearing one another in love, putting up with each other, right? And now look at what he says in verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So tonight, what have I shown you? I've shown you, it starts with my heart, secret sin, those things that I'm hiding from you on the outside, but someone else can see it on the inside, and that's God. Number 2, confession to God. I can be healed from God. He can show mercy and He can pour out mercy, and my relationship between Him and I will be maintained because I'm being honest with Him. I'm being vulnerable before Him. I'm being, if you will, completely open and saying, God, I am sorry for this specific sin. Being specific and being humble of heart to just come before Him and say, God, here it is. I'm sorry. He'll help you. He'll cleanse you, the scripture showed us in 1 John 1. But then the last half, the healing that takes place between you and other people, you need to go confess that to somebody. You need to take care of that between that other individual and then you with them. But as we learned tonight, guys, 90% of it, maybe 95, is it really worth it? Are you really, really justified biblically with that offense within your feelings to say, brother, you are a problem because, or is it just pride? Is it just selfishness? Do I want to just feel vindicated by bringing this up to a person? And maybe because I didn't control that, because I didn't submit that to the Bible and to God's word, and I was not letting God teach me about how to love people and forbear them and how to be gentle and patient, meek with them. Maybe, just maybe, that's why some of our friends have left our church. Some of our friends are avoiding us because they're not letting God cleanse them from what? Those emotional faults. So as you can see here, do you know what's going to keep your relationship with your church strong, your church members, your spouse, for those of you who are married, and fellow Christians? When you start walking in your Christianity, verse 1, with a lowly mindset, verse 2, with a meek mindset, what does that mean? No matter how you treat me, I'm still going to treat you good. Imagine for folks who have left our church, if they actually had that, my gosh, they'd be here. Because that's what meekness is. Meekness is, brother and sister, regardless of how you are or act, I'm going to still be good. That's why I'm still here. That's why I'm still a friend to anyone, and I invite them, and they know they're always welcome. But now look at that next one in verse 2. Long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, just being gentle, just being patient, just forbearing and putting up each other because of love. So guys, God gave us the remedy. He gave us the solution. Now we all don't have any excuse. Now tonight, before we leave, we are all accountable to God. I'm accountable to you, Sister Maribel, Brother Giovanni, for your well-being, and vice versa. Now I know the medicine. I know what I need to do. I need to just love you. I need to forbear you. I need to be patient with you. I need to consider you higher than myself. I need to be meek no matter what you do. I'm still going to treat you the best I could. I need to work on keeping us united in the Spirit of God. If that's your mindset, you'll be the happiest Christian every single time you come here. If that's your mindset, you'll be here for the long haul. If that's your mindset, you're not going to give up on me. I'm not going to give up on you. But if that's not your mindset, then now you know why. Because the heart, it's divided. It's got faults. So tonight, church, as we come to close, I hope that message spoke to you. As you guys know, guys, we don't have an altar call. I'm not going to call and say, let's all come to the altar. No. But you have an altar in your heart. If tonight's message spoke to you, and there's some things that you need to work on before you and the Lord, would you take a couple of minutes in praying with me now? And whatever that might mean between you and God, if there's a secret sin, if you're hiding something going on, if you have a fault with another brother and sister, and it really is just you, not really them, would you be willing to talk about it so we can be healed? And then let's move forward so that every time we come to this church, we come with the mentality that we are here because this is a job, it's a work. We need to come with the mind of Christ, which is patience, putting up with each other in love, and doing our best to keep ourselves united. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the Word of God. Lord, we don't need much pizzazz in our preaching or teaching. We don't need extra 3D sound effects or anything that will try to catch the sensation of people here tonight. We just need the Bible. We just need you. We need the Holy Spirit to teach us and to guide us and to comfort us, but most of all, to convict us, to teach us the truth. Lord Jesus, I pray tonight that your disciples, your believers here tonight, came here with a heart open to receive from the Word of God. Lord, I know that I was instructed by your Spirit. I agree with your Word, Lord, that I am faulty. I agree with your Word, God, that in my heart there are some secrets that I don't tell no one else but you, and you know them. God, I am in need of forgiveness. I am in need of you cleansing me from pride and arrogancy and all these things, God, that try to hinder me from being the best joyful Christian I can be to my friends here that are sitting here tonight. My God, I just pray that they heard the same thing. I pray that you dealt with them in their heart. I pray that they know and now they're willing to respond in their spirit to you personally and privately, God, to be willing now to open up to you about specific sins, things that are going on that no one else knows, hidden things. And number two, if there's anything that they have against another brother and sister that after tonight's message, now they're able to really measure it out and ask themselves, is it worth it? Or is it just me? Just my faults? Am I not being patient enough? Am I not being forbearing enough? Am I not being lowly and meek? Am I not just being willing to love? God, tonight, whatever that means for our members here tonight, I pray that they would do their best to surrender that to you in prayer and to wait upon your Spirit and then obey, that they would put in effort and that they would strive and try their best now to put these verses into application so that, God, every time we see each other, we would be happy and joyful to do our best to love, to forbear, and to be patient with each other. So God, we pray now that you'd keep working on our hearts to be more like Christ. We need to be more like Christ. We need Jesus Christ to reveal himself to us in our hearts so that way others can see him. Forgive us now of anything that is hindering us from doing that. Help us now to get back home safely. And would you help us to have soundness of mind and body for your work and service? I pray In Jesus' name, amen. Church, I love you all. Thank you so much for coming. I hope you're here fellowship for a little bit more. Amen. And pray that you have a blessed night.